We continue tonight our study on the attributes of God. And this is lesson number 18, and it's on the topic of God's mercy. I'll try to keep it somewhat brief, just an illustration. Illustrations I think are good just to help us think about what's coming. I remember I was out of town preaching. This has been a little while, and a while ago. And the gentleman that was supposed to take me to the airport after the conference was over decided to leave early, not realizing that my suitcase was in his vehicle. And that's not a bummer unless your cell phone's in there, okay? And it was. And your car keys to the truck that's at the airport are in there. And they were. And so that's just kind of a little bit of a negative thing. You know, I won't say it ruined my life, but it's kind of, not the best thing. And I thought, well, what are you going to do? That's the way life goes. I just grab lunch. It was lunch break. I'll grab lunch. I speak once more. We'll run out to the airport. Everything's fine. I didn't have time to have lunch because there was a woman there who felt like it was her duty to help me understand things I did not understand well, okay? And God brings people like that into your life to help you grow. It's called pruning, okay? And so she thought that it was more important that I listen to her than eat. And, you know, hey, I'm flexible, okay? And so I listened to her and skipped lunch. And after that, I spoke, and I had to call Nancy. I believe I borrowed someone's cell phone, called Nancy, and she mentioned, you know, there's water running outside. We got a water leak. And so there was that kind of a weekend, you know? So I got home. Praise the Lord, the water leak was in the yard outside, not in the house. That was a blessing. So I called up somebody, and he said, Greg, from church. And they said, Greg, it's almost always there's a transition fitting right outside where the water goes into your house. Normally, that's where it fails. That's the first place you want to look. That was accurate. And long story short, that's about 8 feet below ground level because we had to go up to get into the house. The house is up a little bit where we used to live. And so here I am on a Monday, kind of discouraged and thinking to myself, I have a water leak and I could hear it. It's just running and it's 8 feet down. And what do? I guess I could hire a backhoe. That'll be expensive and it'll mess everything up. And then I don't know what else to do. And so some of you know, I have a good friend, Randy. We've supported him as a missionary. I talked to Randy and he said, I'll be right over. And I said, well, and I'm not sure that's going to help anything. And he said, I'll be right over. So he shows up, work boots and a shovel, and he says, let's go. And I said, Randy, what are we going to do? He said, how deep's the hole need to be? I said, 8 feet, maybe a little more than 8 feet to give us room to work. And I said, plus it's going to have to be wide enough for one of us to get in. He says, yeah, let's do it. And I said, Randy, come on. And he said, why are you wasting time? I brought a shovel. Let's go. Let's do it. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, I'm serious. Let's go. And we started digging this hole. We didn't get very far. We hit mud, and it's pure mud, and it's sticking to the shovel. And I'm like, I want to quit. I want to stop. And he said, what's your problem? He said, just go get a cinder block. And I said, okay. So I get a cinder block, and every time you take one shovel full of mud, you bang it on the cinder block. The mud falls out. You go to the next shovel. He says, let's go. Get another cinder block. So that's what we did. And I don't remember. We spent probably 8 hours, and we dug an 8-foot hole, maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure, wide enough so that a person can get into it, maybe 5 feet wide, I don't know. And it was right. That's where the leak was. Made the hole big enough I could get down and do the little simple plumbing. You say, what's that an illustration of? Misery, okay? I felt miserable. I think Randy came over right away because we're good friends, and he could sense in my voice that, hey, Greg's not his normal usually upbeat. I just, you know what I mean? It was just, and that, it's selfishness on my part. I'm not excusing it. I was sensing misery. You say, okay, so why is that your intro tonight? Because we're going to define the attribute of mercy. What is mercy? It's related to goodness. In fact, in the systematic theology I'm using, it's a subpoint of goodness. God's mercy is defined this way. God's goodness towards those in misery and distress. What do we need when we're in misery and distress? Now, I hesitated to bring that illustration about my plumbing leak out in the yard and all the other stuff because compared to what some of you have been through or are going through, that was a minor point, and I acknowledge that. I still wanted to have an illustration. Some of you are going through things that are so much worse than that. And what you want is mercy. You want God to be good to you in the sense of your misery and distress. The good news is God is a merciful God. And that's what we're looking at tonight, the attribute of God's mercy. First of all, number one, the Lord's mercies are great to those who fear Him. And that's a want to those in distress. And it's a wonderful thing to know that when you're encountering distress, you're going through a difficult time, that God is merciful to us. And I have an illustration of that, and it's coming out of 2 Samuel 24, verse 14. On your handout, it may say 1 Samuel, and if that's the case, you want to make sure if you check your notes at all, it's as on the slide is accurate. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14, and I'll just read the text, the words are correct. It says here, I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. It's kind of a challenging passage. You might remember it. David numbered the people, and he shouldn't have, and then he repents, and the Lord basically says through the prophet, David, you could have what, 7 years of famine? You could have 3 years of your enemies chasing you, or you can have 3 days of pestilence. And David's response was this, let us fall into the hand of the Lord. Don't let me fall into the hand of a man any day. You know, and that's just, it's always been an interesting part. I don't even understand the whole passage, but the part that just has stayed with me is what a wise move. Let me fall into the hand of God because He is a merciful God. And even if challenging times are going to come, I would always rather be in God's hand than to fall into the hand of a man, because the Lord is a merciful God. You know, we see that in so many places. A quick New Testament one, right? Matthew 9:27. It just says, Jesus went out from there, two blind men following, crying out, have mercy on us, Son of David. Think about it. They're in distress. They're blind. They want to see. You know, I've often actually thought of this. If I had to have a serious disability, I would take anything, I think, ahead of blindness. I just for me, I wouldn't want blindness. I mean, I'd rather, you know, hopefully we all want to be healthy and not have anything. Blindness would be so hard. Here's two men, they're blind, and they're in distress, and they cry out to the Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. The Lord healed them. The Lord showed mercy to them. He was good in a time of distress. The Lord's mercies, number one, are great to those in distress. Number two, specifically, God is merciful to save sinners. So it's just true, in times of distress, God shows His goodness to people. We call that mercy. It is especially true in relationship to our salvation. Two verses. One will be Ephesians 2, 4, 5. But God being rich in mercy, there it is, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So we were dead in our transgressions. Everyone apart from Christ is dead in transgressions. That is a time of distress, right? That is a difficult place to be in. But praise God, He's rich in mercy. And He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. 1 Peter 1:3 puts it this way, just kind of a doxology beginning that wonderful letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the Lord. I certainly trust that you're born again. I hope that you have experienced the new birth and you understand what that means. And if you really understand it, then you know there's one reason why you've been born again. And what is that? Because God is a God of great mercy. He has been merciful to us. Praise the Lord that God is merciful to save sinners. That's number two. Number three, not only is God merciful to people in distress, number one, merciful specifically in salvation, number two, to save sinners, the Father of mercies comforts us in our affliction and sorrow. So here we are as followers of Christ, and life gets difficult. And where do we go when we're facing periods of affliction and sorrow? We go to the Father of mercies. According to 2 Corinthians 1, Verse 3 and 4 puts it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why does the Lord comfort us when we have these periods of affliction? Because the Lord is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:27, he writes, for indeed, and he's talking about Epaphroditus here, who previously was sick, and now he's doing better, and he's heading to Philippi with this letter. Indeed, he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. So God was merciful to Epaphroditus. He was sick, but God showed him mercy. And then that act of God's mercy also was a merciful act to Paul. Because here's Paul, and he's facing sorrow. And knowing that Epaphroditus was still sick, maybe passes away, that would just be an added sorrow to Paul. And here is Paul rejoicing in God being merciful. And so he writes that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 27. Not only is the Lord's mercy great to those in distress, number one, and God is secondly merciful to save sinners too, the Father of mercy who comforts us in all our afflictions, number three, we then can, number four, make two practical applications as we wrap up this short devotional. What are our applications? Number one, what do you do when life is really, really hard? You pray to our merciful God in times of need. So when life gets hard and we find ourselves in a time of need, in a time of distress, maybe in a time of affliction, in a time of sorrow, you want to see God's goodness to you, pray for mercy. That's what we are taught in Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that's a description of prayer, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you're in that time of need, you know, we started with that long list of prayer requests tonight. Again, things kind of go in waves, it seems, and the waves picked up recently for our church family. There are many people that are struggling, and there's things I haven't mentioned. And people want God's goodness to be displayed to them. What do we do if that's us, or what do we do on behalf of them? We pray that they would receive mercy to help in the time of need. So when we know what God is like and we're going through really hard times, we pray. But a second application, not only do we pray to our merciful God in time of need, number two, we need to be merciful to others as God has been merciful to us. And I was thinking about turning to Matthew 18, and I just checked the time, and I don't want to go over time, so I'm not going to. But it's that wonderful story that here is a king like a lord, and he is merciful to a slave that owes him a really big sum that he could never repay. And then the slave who has received mercy was not willing to show mercy to a fellow slave who owed him a large but not nearly as large of a sum. And what did the Lord in that story, Matthew 18, a picture of our merciful God, what did he say? Here's the key verse, Matthew 18, 33. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? So if you know that story well, and maybe if you think about it tonight, maybe before you go to bed or, you know, with your spouse or whoever, you know, kids, whatever, if you have a little opportunity to, maybe you could just read through that. It's a wonderful story. You find yourself in that story. You say, who am I in that story? I'm the guy, I'm the first slave who I was forgiven an incredible debt, and it's all because of God's mercy. Now, hopefully, I don't act like that slave, because God's word to us is right here in verse 33. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? I've talked many times to people that have been hurt deeply, And they basically said, Greg, give me one good reason why I would show some goodness to that person, why I would be merciful to them after what they have done to me. And frequently I've said something like this: that is a really good question. It's an honest question. Why don't we look at the answer together? And we go right to Matthew 18 and we read that story. And I don't say anything to them except this: who are you in that story? We read it, and then I ask, who are you? And it's obvious. So this is a reminder that even when we don't want to be merciful to people, and people have hurt us, and, you know, it's kind of like, wow, why should I be good to them after what they've done to me? They don't deserve it. Well, I want to just go back. I don't deserve God's mercy. And he's forgiven me an incredible debt. He has been good to all of us, if you know the forgiveness of sin that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's mercy. What a wonderful God we serve, a merciful God. Let's pray.